Welcome to Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse monthly podcast for all aspiring wordsmiths and versifiers.
Today is the 25th of January 2018, and lots of people around Australia are thinking, wow, tomorrow is Australia Day, woohoo yay. And my husband and I are more woohoo yay because it's our 32nd wedding anniversary today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we're here, and my mind's a bit discombobulated at the moment because of various family issues. Anyway, Jeanette's going to take over and do everything that I often do.
Okay.
I'm going to go along with what Jeanette and Marilyn both say.
Today we've got Carolyn, our president,
here,
despite numerous issues, but she's here with us. Marilyn.
Hi.
And myself.
So, and yourself is?
Jeanette. So, that's us. Today we've got a couple of writers that are relevant to today to discuss. Writer's tip, word of the day, and we've actually got two words of the day today.
Mm-hmm.
We're cheating. Readings of own work. And if not, we can read some poems that we have here. And the listener's challenge. So, to get started, our first podcast for 2018.
Here we go. This is exciting.
Yes. About poet-writer discussion, we've got two to talk about because Ursula Le Guin died a couple of days ago, and I have to confess I haven't actually gotten into reading any of her works yet.
You will.
On my to read list, and they've just jumped up a few notches now because I feel very guilty I haven't, but I believe Carolyn has read some of her
A long, long time ago.
Yes. I think she was really probably one of the first well-known women to venture into science fiction, and back when it was viewed as very much a male domain.
What would women know about science, for heaven's sake? Lots and lots and lots.
I don't think it was even...
No? It was just one of those things?
I think it was... Well, it was viewed that science was a boy's thing. Science fiction was a teenage male thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the books were all... Because they were all aimed at teenage males, of course. I used to try reading my brother's science fiction books and I couldn't stand them because they're just... written, and they're so obviously written at that, aimed at that market. But I loved science fiction. If I ever came across any that I could read. The other writer we were going to talk about today was Bobby Burns, because today is Burns Day, which is a big day in Scotland, where they all drink lots of whiskey. Eat haggis.
Yeah, we don't want to go that way. Haggis always sounds just...
Angus tried it at school and loved it.
Angus is just one of those people.
Because they had a Scottish teacher, and she gave them haggis, boiling haggis, neeps and taties.
Potatoes.
Very nice potatoes. I had vegetarian haggis, which was really nice. I like the vegetarian version. Without the disgusting bits.
I'm not really a great one for Scottish cuisine.
It's not the most exciting, is it?
No, I think I've ever tried any of it. The only thing I like is they have a dessert. It's sort of similar to pavlova. It's egg white mixed up with oatmeal.
And there has to be sugar there too.
Well, yeah.
Or strokes.
I love porridge, but that's
No, I think we did well to adopt Asian foodstuffs. Anyway, back to what we're meant to be talking about.
You have some lovely little books here.
I've bought my mother's anthology.
And
of Robbie
absolutely.
Burn, which is that one.
That one.
But this
and
one
that's a small book.
Was my grandfather's.
That's tiny.
So
tiny
it's
book.
Over 100 years old because the address written on it is where he lived pre-war. He gave it to my mother in 1939. It's got some baby hair in it, which is probably my mother's. It's so soft.
It's a leather bound with the gilt edge all around.
Sort of a maroon.
And illustrations.
Are just beautiful little works of art.
Slightly bigger than a matchbox.
Yes. So I won't read any though because I can't do the Scottish accent.
We need.
I don't feel I can do justice to it.
If we had Catherine here, she could do it.
There was one there though with about a hare that had just been shot.
He wrote another one that's quite famous about a dormouse. He was very attuned to nature, not so attuned to women.
No.
No, he was a bit of a womaniser.
He was very attuned to them, tuned into them, but not in a good way.
It's like 12 children by his wife and probably quite a few by other women as well.
No DNA testing back in those days.
No. He did get called before the Kirk to... And shamed by the Kirk at one stage.
Kirk being the church.
having got his girlfriend pregnant.
Well, it's nice that, the man got into trouble as well. Usually,
yes, yeah, some of them both got into trouble.
Yeah, this one, it's called To a Wounded Hare, which a fellow had just shot at. That's an interesting title and subtitle.
Yes.
So he's apologising to the hare, is he? Or he's just...
Yeah, he's commenting on the hare, that bitter little bat of life remains. I think it's wounded.
Mm. That might be interesting because there was the letter to the editor from someone in Smithfield, because Smithfield was settled by Scots, about the evils of hunting. They quite often quote Robbie Burns in their letters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's tricky language.
It is very tricky language.
Addressed to the unco... No, I thought that was a modern word that, you know, describes me when I'm dancing.
You're not the only one in this group, I don't think. I'm very unco.
Yes, me too.
It's not addressed to
you actually trip over. I'm really good at that.
I've quoted quite a bit of Robbie Burns in the book, the Millikins.
Because it's relevant to the family.
Yeah, exactly. And they would have spoken with that same accent, because that's a dialects vary enormously across Scotland.
Mm.
That's particular to that area.
Because they did really travel very far.
So we'll move on to the writer's tip.
Writer's tip.
Yes.
Is the writer's tip from Carolyn Prison of Adelaide Plains Poets is just do it. You want to be a writer, just do it. Write. That's what writers do. What makes a person a writer is to write.
Yes.
Not thinking, but writing your words down. Hmm. And it doesn't matter. If you're learning to play tennis, you don't have every single shot with your racket at the ball. It doesn't have to be perfect because you're learning. And you learn to be a good writer by writing.
Hello.
And looking at food.
Hi,
we need
you.
We need
you.
We need an accent. Thank you.
I don't know that I know a Scottish accent, but I'll have a go.
Yeah. My Scottish accent's real, real good. Okay.
Okay then.
Oh, what you just said, yeah.
Yeah, all that sort of thing. Mate.
I can't do that.
Breasty.
Yes, yeah.
Wee beastie.
The wee beastie.
That's one of his most famous.
It is.
Kill it. Travic.
What about the spider? Should old acquaintance be forgotten?
What the words?
That
is
a traditional song.
To a mouse.
To a mouse, on turning her up in her nest with the plough. We sleek it, cowering timorous beastie. Oh, what a panic's in thy breastie. Thou needna start away so hasty with bickering brattle. I would be laith to rin and chase thee with murdering prattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doubt now whiles, but thou may thieve. What then, poor beastie? Thou mun live. A day manicker in a thrave. It's a small request. I'll get a blessing with the lave and never miss it. Thy wee bit housey too in ruin. It's silly was the winds are strewing and nothing now to bring a new end of foggage green and bleak December's winds ensuing, Beth Snell and keen. Thou saw the fields lay bare and waste and weary one winter coming fast, and cosy here beneath the blast, thou thought to dwell till crash, the cruel coulter passed out through thy cell. That wee bit of heaps and leaves and stibble has cost thee money a weary nibble. Now thou's turned out for thy trouble, but house and hold, to thole the winter sleety dribble and cranrock cold. But mousie, thou art no thy lane, improving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men gang after glay, and leave us naught but grief and pain for promised joy. Still thou art blessed compared with me. The present only toucheth thee, but oh, I backward cast my eye on prospects drear, and forward though I cannot see, I guess and fear.
Beautiful, thank you very much.
Sweetie dribble.
Yeah, it's It's really grotty snow. Yeah. Sleet is when it's sort of half wet and it's sort of horrible stuff.
Yeah, we used to get in Ballarat.
Yeah, you would do actually. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to word of the day now. As I said, we've got two words, and the first, it's a traditional term which refers to an old practice, traditional practice, originally done in Britain but carried over into Pennsylvania and possibly still practiced today by the Amish community.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. So it was a custom before marriage, the betrothed couple would be bundled up in cloth, so they couldn't move, and put to bed together.
So they couldn't escape?
No, so they could spend the night together without touching.
They'd get to know each other really well by chatting, they're talking.
Well, it's a bit like that when you go on the tube in London, though. You're crushed up against somebody's groin for half an hour.
Yeah, but you're not going to get married afterwards.
No, that's true.
Oh, hey, who knows, you might as
well. So did I read somewhere that they had their legs tied some of the time?
It would have been, yeah.
What would you do if you had to have a wee? Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, so you might have not been married that many.
It's just wee all over me.
Courting stocking completely covering the girl's body from the waist downwards with room for both legs without in it. Santa stockings were often heirlooms.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they don't do that here.
You find out about things like snoring, though, wouldn't you?
That's right.
So you didn't have, bands round your mouth so you could kiss each other or anything?
No, they were supposed to talk.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Get to know each other by talking.
Right, and kissing, presumably.
Well, presumably that was allowed.
Yeah.
It wasn't intended.
No.
So the other word, which I came across when I was doing some research the other day and I thought it was an interesting one, is cordwainer.
How do you spell that?
It's profession.
CORDWAINER. Yes, it's a profession. Any guesses what profession?
A cordwainer.
Is that something to do with the wheels and sort of putting cords on, Wainwrights and...
No, it's not.
That they made ropes?
No, they don't make ropes. It matters. A shoemaker.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Really?
As opposed to a...
Cobbler,
men's shoes. So a cordwainer made shoes and a cobbler mended shoes.
Okay.
And they were two distinctly different trades.
Of course they were.
So a cobbler wasn't allowed to make shoes and a cordwainer wasn't allowed to mend
shoes. Fix them. Oh, that's weird.
And it's still used in guilds. No, cobblers only fixed shoes. Cordwainers made them.
I was just saying incorrectly then.
Yeah. So there you go. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And this particular individual was a cordwainer from York. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How come I've never heard that word before?
It's no longer in use. Only in guild names. There are still cordwainers' guilds, apparently.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But it's the only... Other than that, it's fallen out of use. And I guess now shoes are made in factories and cobblers still mend them, so they're still cobblers, but we don't have cordwainers anymore. And we'll move on to reading of own works. So, has anyone...
I found a poem I wrote back in July, late July... And I'm pretty sure I haven't read it here, who knows? Might have read it at our meetings. And it's called Please Mind the Gap. What does that even mean? Does the gap need to be cared for, like you may mind a dog or a small child? Or is it more like food, as in I love Chinese food and barbecued lamb chops and I don't mind chicken now and then? Or thinking more personally about the gaps inside my head, my mind, where the gaps are caused by my wayward immune system.
Mm.
There.
Did you write that on the train?
I must have written it after a train ride. July. I wrote it on the train.
Yes.
Of course I did. Thank you.
Yeah.
That had been written during our Festival of Words last year.
This is called I Miss You. I dreamt of you again last night. We were living together in a blue shack by the sea. We potted round our Garden of Eden and had no reason to hide our love. Our three parents approved, and seagulls would soar and swoop, not our moods. Dolphins would play freely in the shimmering sunsets, not choking on harsh plastics or getting fast in nets. And we kissed each other goodnight every night, together at last. We had both survived. And we're mostly happy with each other.
It's a lovely poem.
Thank you.
I'll just give a little bit of background. This was something following on the dispute between James and his neighbour, Turner. The conflict between Turner and James did not end with the summoning up that April day. Turner was clearly disgruntled with the court ruling and so attempted revenge. It was reported in the South Australian Advertiser that District Council report of June 1869, a memorial was sent in by 13 residents of Smithfield, calling attention to James's slaughtering yard and hoping council would see that it was kept in such a state as not to be a nuisance to inhabitants, clerk to inspect. Turner clearly tried a new tactic in the neighbourhood dispute. James may well have echoed the sentiments expressed by that famous Ayrshire bard towards a commercial traveller by the name of Turner. In 1749, the devil got stuff to make a swine and goosed it in a corner, but willily he changed his plan and shaked it something like a man and called it Andrew Turner.
Oh dear, that's a bit rude, but yes.
It was very apt given the surname there. And apparently the council accepted that his slaughtering yard was fine. Oh, I don't blame the residents having a slaughtering yard in the middle of a township. It does sound a little antisocial to me. Yeah.
My grandpa had a slaughterhouse, but I never had the guts to ask him how he actually killed the animals because the
you
whole concept
shoot.
Was...
creatures.
I would have thought,
throats.
Yeah, that
no, he used to shoot them with a stun gun and then kill them.
Oh, yes.
So that's like you're not like rifle blazing way all over the place where anybody could get caught.
But also it's just more humane.
Absolutely.
So probably what... Yeah.
Even more humane is not eating them at all, but hey.
Well, that's true, yes. Letting them live their lives.
I have quoted Robbie Burns quite a bit, though, throughout the book because they were from Burns country. So that's that. And now we move on to the listener's challenge, the last thing for today. And given we're sitting here in the uncooled, unair-conditioned back room, summer in Gawler, I thought.
Summer in Gawler.
Summer in
Gawler. Write it out, send it to us.
Yeah. Connect to Gawler, I think, hot weather. So that's it, and that will wrap it up. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.